Dear friends in Christ, when tired, I try not to say too much for fear of being short with people. For much the same reason, I like to have my sermon finished by, say, Friday, so there's time to take out the stuff that's more a symptom of distemper than a helpful application of the law. But then perhaps it's not always possible or even desirable to maintain a perfectly even keel. As we see in our text for today, Paul's been through a lot with the Corinthians, and it shows. So he begins. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Amen, Brother Paul. The biblical witness is unanimous. Pastors ought to be paid. And while I'm all for taking a vow of poverty, at least in theory, it burns me to see pastors barely getting by in congregations whose pews are filled with doctors, lawyers, and other businessmen, or to see pastors well paid in big suburban congregations while their brothers toiling away in poorer congregations struggle to make ends meet. A worker is worthy of his hire. Wait, do I sound testy? But Paul takes a surprising turn. He's not complaining about his salary. He's not asking for a raise. Just the opposite. For most vegetarians, the refusal to eat meat is not so much a dietary choice as a public statement. By not taking the salary, which is his by right, Paul's also making a statement, a declaration of independence. And so it goes. Once you receive a gift, you enter into a relationship. Businessmen and politicians establish alliances with gifts and favors. Families strengthen bonds with gifts at birthdays and Christmas. And of course, there are certain expectations. If you're invited over for dinner, make sure to RSVP and perhaps bring a bottle of wine as a down payment on the unspoken promise to one day return the favor. Forget to send a thank you card, and you're in big trouble, and rightly so. From the complex Japanese art of gift giving to a kindergartner offering an apple to his teacher, gift giving is a type of societal glue. Choose not to participate, and you isolate yourself. No dinner invitations for you. Paul understood this, and he spent an awful lot of time fundraising for the church in Jerusalem in order to strengthen the bonds between the Gentile church and her Jewish heritage. And generally speaking, it's good for a congregation to pay her pastor. It's a wholesome way for the people to show their appreciation for their pastor and for the gospel which he preaches. And it is good for a pastor to realize how much he owes the folks who support him, even as Paul acknowledges his debts to such patrons as Lydia and Phoebe and so many others who made his ministry possible. But from the Corinthians, Paul won't accept a drachma. Given their rocky relationship, he doesn't want to make himself beholden, especially to certain members who may be lording it over the poor. Blessed be the tie that binds, but not the purse strings that gag the preacher. No doubt many a prophet abandoned Elijah's cause to secure a place at the table of Ahab and Jezebel. Surely many a priest turned a deaf ear to Luther's prophetic call in hope of gaining a bishop's mitre. And so today, many evangelical preachers shy away from the real issues for fear of upsetting those who pay the bills. Paul would have us beware of those in the congregation who would buy our favor. Beware of those in the church at large who would mute your prophetic voice with promises of appointments, promotions, conferences, and greener pastures. So with passion and a little bit of petulance, the apostle cries out jealously, "I don't want your money. I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. And then Paul makes a nice observation. Though he will receive no gift or salary from the Corinthians, he most definitely has received the gift of the gospel. As such, though free from the Corinthians' pressure, he is totally obligated to God, saying, "I am under compulsion." So maybe it's true. There's no such thing as a free lunch. We can talk all we want about the gospel being some sort of free ticket to heaven, but many won't buy it. They instinctively understand the gift's implications. When you receive Christ's love, you enter into a relationship, and many folks simply don't want to be tied to God. They don't want to be caught in a web of obligations to God and their fellow man. They'd rather not feel obligated to show up at the weekly family meal we call Eucharist. Rather than give thanks, they choose to remain alone and, in their minds, free. But this is the paradox of God's love, which Paul, the slave of God, understood so well. The tie that binds also sets us free, free from sin and despair, free from the isolation which sin creates. To be free from God is finally to be a slave to self, to be alone. To be tied to God is to be free and to have your world opened up, to enter into the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to experience the love of the saints, the mutual consolation of the brethren. Yes, Paul has received the free gift of salvation, and it burns within him like a holy obligation. He receives it and can do nothing but give it to others. As Jeremiah said concerning God's word, "It became in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I grew weary of trying to contain it, and I am not able." Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge." Freely give, as you have been freely given, Jesus instructed his seminarians. So here we are, freely preaching the word, sowing generously, and that word burns in our heart till we release it from our mouth. Therefore, let us bind ourselves today to one another in acts of charity and kindness. And if from time to time we have to cut earthly strings to gifts of money and advancement, so be it. It will mean little in the end, for our freedom and our future are happily tied to our Heavenly Father and to his Son, who in obligation to his Father freely gave up his life on our behalf. Amen.